Listen carefully, Red Dam.
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Something special is about to happen.
Are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
Very aroused.
It was better than later.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do this.
That is incredible. That is unbelievable. That is brilliant.
Yeah, g'day, Rubbers. Welcome back to the Weekly Rubdown, a podcast that rubs down everything NRL Super Coach. I'm your host, Natty, and with me, as always, riding shotgun in the rub is Wooker, the stats wizard, the sultan of the spreadsheet. What's going on?
Not much, mate. This is where the season gets a bit interesting, doesn't it? So we've started to see how the teams are going to be performing for the rest of the year, and how our guns are either firing or misfiring. So this is a perfect time to start to talk about your flips and your fetches and all the trade sort of moves you want to be making.
That's it, 100%, mate. As Rando likes to say, the stats are statting. So this is the first flip and fetch episode for the year. We'll probably do maybe three of these, maybe four throughout the year. So obviously we're looking at the first eight rounds, seven that we've got data on, well, six actually. But we're looking at guys that have overperformed their predicted average to start the season, and whether that's due to strength of schedule or injuries or team, whatever it may be. But obviously we're looking at selling those guys because you're selling high on them or trading them out. And conversely, we're looking at guys that have had a really – easy strength of schedule and are probably overperforming their predicted average, and guys that you want to move on and sell high on there. So yeah, it's an interesting sort of time. It's good gear though, isn't it, mate?
Yeah, for sure. And look, this is the sort of time you want to be looking to trade, because people out there are either looking for wins or they're looking forward ahead to finals. And look, if you need to string some wins together, if you're 0-5 or if you're like 1-4 and you're looking to get something going, you need to obviously make some moves, make some trades, and it's the way to get ahead, really.
100%. And so
not every league's a trading league though.
No, that's exactly right. But yeah, so like if you're looking at these flip and fetch sheets, and you know we've got them in front of us here, obviously available on the Patreon, the Rub Club, so you guys can go and have a look at those flip and fetch sheets right now. So if we're looking at the flip and fetch sheet for round 9 to 16, so looking at stats that have gone so far this year, and then looking at the next sheet is for rounds 9 to 16. First up, you look at the overall. So we're looking at teams that have come off a really good strength of schedule to start the year, and then flipping those for guys that or teams that have a really easy strength of schedule from round 9 onwards. So, for example, I'm looking at the overall sheet right here. You've got the Bulldogs that started the season with a really favorable matchups to start the year. Their strength of schedule was quite easy. Now, going into the rounds from 9 to 16, they've got a really tough schedule. So players in that team, you're going to want to look at to try and flip those guys. And then at the other end of the scale, you've got teams that had a really tough strength of schedule. So like the Broncos had the second hardest strength of schedule to start the year. From rounds 9 to 16, they have the third best strength of schedule over those rounds. So you might be looking at guys from the Broncos that you want to fetch. So for example, you go, because the flip and fetch sheets, we've got them for every single position. You bring up the lock sheet. Straight away, you look at Jermaine Hopgood. He is the top lock for averaging at the moment. And he's a really good flip because the Eels had the best, well, for lock, they had the best strength of schedule to start the year. And for lock, they have the second hardest strength of schedule from rounds 9 to 16. And so this is looking at teams and how they're conceding points to lock as that specific position. So you might want to flip Jermaine Hopgood, and that's what it's got written down on the flip and fetch sheet. And then you look at someone like a Cameron Murray maybe to fetch, because the Bunnies had such a tough start to the season. They had their worst strength of schedule for teams that are conceding points to locks, and they're coming up to round 9 to 16. They have the third best for conceding points to lock. So right there, there's a really good look at how you can flip and fetch. But yeah, they're all there for all the different positions, and it's all based on strength of schedule. Now, this is really prevalent for someone that might may have had a really tough start to the season and you're looking for W's. That's probably why you would target this specific flip and fetch sheet, like rounds 1 to 8 into 9 to 16. So from rounds 9 to 16, you're trying to get some wins on the board. So you want players that have really favorable matchups and have a really good strength of schedule so you can win games. Yeah. Now, for guys that are humming along nicely and have got plenty of W's on the board, probably not as prevalent, but they might be looking at the flip and fetch sheets for this, for your strength of schedule in your finals. So selling high on guys that have started the season really well to get pick up guys that may not have played as well, but have a better strength of schedule in your finals. So you start building and collecting those ultimate guys that you want in your strength of schedule for your finals. So just say it's 23 to 26 like us, building that perfect fucking team for matchups along that strength, those series of games, round 23 to 26. So really interesting sheets. And look, you can dive into it. You can see how deep the fucking rabbit hole goes and go as deep as you like. So in this podcast here tonight, we'll be just touching on a few positions. Obviously, your halves, your CTWs, your edge back rowers, your fullbacks, these are the main guys that are going to be affected from these strength of schedule sheets. Your hooker, your front row forwards, your locks, not as much. But yeah, we'll be just touching on it, having a little bit of a sneak peek into the strength of schedule for the finals as well, talking about guys that have overperformed that you might want to move on or try and move on. Yeah, should be a really good chat, bro. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, man, this is where the stats really come in, and it can really help with your trades. And look, you mentioned it might not be as prevalent for people who are humming along, but look, if you can smell blood in the water, you look at a few guys at the bottom of the ladder, they need to get the W's, they're going to be more willing to trade. And if you can have a sticky beak at their team, have a look on the flip and fetch sheets to see if any of their players do stand out, you might be able to get some gravy early.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, classic draft doesn't matter. Strength of schedule.
No, exactly.
It is important for all forms of fantasy. So, yeah. I love these sheets. Like for me, obviously I need wins on the board at the moment, so I'm looking at building a team so I can catapult myself back up the ladder. And then once I get to a safe point in the ladder where I'm like, sitting third, fourth, something like that, that's when I can fucking put it back into neutral and then start looking at my team for my finals run. So timing a run, baby. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.
No one wins a championship in April.
No, that's it. Yeah. Just got to build the team to get the job done when you need the job done.
Exactly.
Now, Wooker, I just want to throw, before we get in to flipping and a fetching, I just wanted to throw to you because you've got another stat sheet that's up and humming really nicely. And you sent me some long-winded name that I was like, I'm not fucking going to remember that. It's the captaincy cheat sheet. That's what it'll be named from now on.
Yep.
Talk to me, bro. What's this one?
Yeah, so effectively we just went through the draw of each team, so all 17 teams, and just had a look at throughout the rest of the season from now onwards, where do they sit in terms of how many games have they played in Thursday and Friday? So realistically, your VC options. And then looking at how many games they've got on Saturday, Sunday, or even Monday. I think there's a couple of games there. And those would be your captaincy options. And just had a look between the teams as to, okay, are there majority captains options, majority VC options, and had a look at which teams sort of stood out and kind of use it as a bit of a guide to have a look at your team forward into the finals and kind of have a look at what your options are. Because for the rest of the season, if you've got one of the key takeaways from it was captaincy options. It's clearly the Knights. So the Knights have 17 of the 18 games remaining for their season on either a Saturday or a Sunday. So they're clear captaincy options. And obviously Ponga is the play there. So if you're a Ponga owner, you're fucking licking your lips.
Hello.
Yeah, for sure. Conversely, if you're like a Marju owner, it's probably not as good as having him play earlier and having him as a VC option. So it is something to consider if you're like looking to book in some trades or bring in players that are a high ceiling. Having a look at whether they do play most of the games on the Saturday or Sunday, it's probably not going to work for a VC option. Now, looking at the VC options, we see that the Eels play 11 of their 18 remaining games in the VC territory, so on a Thursday or Friday night. And then the Storm play 9 of their next 19 games in VC territory. Now, there's obviously a lot less games played in your VC territory. So 3 of the 8 games are played in VC town, and the remaining 5 are in Captain's Corner. So looking at having a VC option, at least one from Eels, Storm, and there's a couple others that are in the sheet as well, and looking at backing that up with someone from the Knights or one of the other captaincy options that we've identified, is going to be pretty important. So yeah, feed that into your trades and really think about it, because those sort of things can really mean a lot in your finals, and especially for the rest of the season. If you need to bank up some wins, you want to be having options on both sides of the round.
Fuck, that's really interesting, bro. Like, yeah, for me, for a Ponga owner, so I'm happy with he's going to be a captaincy option for the season going forward. Ooh, knowing that he's got a lot of those games on Sunday is really helpful. So, but now I might start thinking about packaging up a few guys in my team to maybe get a Jerome Hughes or a Cameron Munster. Yeah. Someone like that from the Storm, or a Gutho, or someone like that from the Eels. Someone that I can partner with Ponga so that I get that perfect VC captaincy choice every single week and sort of build my team around those selections.
Yeah, and like it's not going to work. It's not going to align every single game because they don't obviously play every game in those two corners. But majority. It's going to work majority of the time. Mm. Stars will align, and you'd be looking at the finals. And we've mapped it out for all the games, including the finals, and then managed to give a recommendation for the rest of the season what they're leaning towards, whether it's a captaincy options, VC options, or a bit of both. And there are some teams that do straddle a bit of both. So I was fully expecting that the Broncos would be all Friday.
Yeah, or big Friday VCs.
Big VC options. But it wasn't as clear cut as that. So yeah, it was really interesting to go through. It's definitely going to form part of the preseason reviews that we do for next year. But yeah, got it a bit late this time. But yeah, we'll probably touch on it again midway through the season just to wipe out the games that have already been played and just see what the rest of the season looks like again.
Love that, bro. Love that. Another sheet, another stat sheet to add to the arsenal. And like we always say with these stat sheets, they're like a bikini. They give you a pretty good look at the rig, but they don't get you the whole thing. You're still got to make the decisions. You're still got to have your head in a swivel. You're still got to, you know, sift through some of the shit and make your own decision. But just another weapon on the tool belt here.
All we're doing is increasing the probability you're making the right decisions.
That's it. That's it. Get those guesstimations right up there. So the captaincy cheat sheet is available right now on the Patreon, along with all the flip and fetch sheets that we will be using in this podcast tonight. Holy fuck, that's good gear, man. Good gear. All right, should we jump straight into a flipping and a fetching?
Let's do it, mate.
Let's fucking do it, bro. Let's get into it.
Stats, records, rankings, weather.
I know the team.
These games are a burial, a blowout, a human lock.
I know these players.
All you gotta do is bet on the win.
I know this wonderful game called football.
Let's get on with a rub down.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So again, with these flip and fetch sheets, it's giving us, as we go through each position, and again, it's not just super coach position, people. It's left 2RF, right 2RF, left half, right half, left wing, right wing. All positions all over the fucking field, we have sorted it for you. So on this flip and fetch sheet, it'll give us the strength of schedule for those positions. So I'm looking at hooker right now. It's giving me the strength of schedule for hookers from round 1 to 8 and from round 9 to 16. And then it is recommending, because of those strength of schedule and the flip that's going on there. It's giving us a list of flips and a list of fetches. It's taking all the guesswork out, people. It's all there on the sheet for you. We can't make it any easier for you. We're literally carrying you down to the water and just splashing water up into your gullet. There you go, mate. Drink. We can't do anymore, people. It's easy as fuck, right?
Now, so the only thing with the fetches, though, is sometimes it'll have recommendations on players that aren't relevant. You can use your noggin to figure out which ones are relevant, which ones aren't.
That's it, yeah. For example, like, it's telling you to fetch Lachlan Croker here. Use your brain, people.
Exactly.
Use your brain.
Exactly.
Use your fucking brain. And like I said earlier, positions like hooker, front row, forward, lock, they're going to be less predominant here when we're talking about guys, because they're going to be pretty consistent regardless of the oppositions that they're coming up against, because they're just getting through bulk base work pretty much, whereas the other positions are more attacking based positions, and that's where the strength of schedule comes in here. So let's kick it off with hooker here, Matt. Who do you like coming out of the first few rounds to start the season as a flip? And who do you think people should be targeting if they want a better hooker for the next sort of 9 rounds going forward?
All right. So the flip is going to be Reid Marnie. So he's been discussed as an option in a bit of classic chatter. And look, you can really use that to your advantage, and always try to use that to your advantage if you're an owner as well. So he's got a handy average to start the season. And look, I don't know whether he can maintain that. And we were talking about the softer run at the start of the season that the Doggies have had. That's going to flip on its head as we move into rounds 9 to 16. So seeing if you can turn him into someone who's underperformed a little bit, like a JMK or someone like that, is a really good play, because I do think the JMK will be outperform on his day, will definitely outperform Reid Marnie. One of their fetches is going to be Harry Grant. So he's had very deflated scoring to start the season, and it could be an opportunity to pry him out of owner's hands. Coming into a very easy run from 9 to 16, it's going to come at a bit more of a premium than someone like a JMK. So I think JMK is probably a more attainable option, but the strength of schedule really sits with Harry Grant on this one.
Yeah, and he is obviously the number one guy that you want to get in here. He started the year a little bit slow. I think that's because the Melbourne Storm, their pack, just hasn't had all the troops back. You know, we'll see Nelson Solomona back in this Melbourne Storm pack this weekend. You watch Harry Grant's average get a nice little bump of about 3, 4, 5 points just with him in the side, right? So, I mean, I'm just looking at the strength of schedule here for hookers to start the year. Reece Robson sitting at a 74 average. Cowboys had the second best strength of schedule for hookers. You know, a guy that you could flip off that 74, maybe turn him into a Harry Grant as well. Because, I mean, yes, he's performing really well, Robson, but is that because Cowboys have come up against really weak middles? That's the question you've got to ask yourself going forward, right? And this is a perfect scenario of going, okay, fuck, yeah, I love him. I'm sucking his dick. He's doing really great things for me. But does that 74 turn into a 60 over the next coming 10, 11 rounds? Whereas, conversely, Harry Grant goes from his 63 average up to a 75.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, I mean, looking at players like Appy as well, he's another one who sits in the fetch category. He's just not attainable with how well he's performed at the start of the season. And the fact that he's come up against the fifth hardest defenses defending hookers in like the first 6 rounds suggests that he's well overperformed what he could potentially do against the more easy opposition. Comes into the easiest strength of the schedule for any hooker in rounds 9 to 16. So, and it's far and away the easiest schedule. So something to really consider, like maybe selling the farm on Appy is not the worst idea, because goal kicking, Tigers have Lachlan Galvin back. I'm liking what he's putting out on the field, if I'm honest.
Another one I want to get your opinion on is Damien Cook. Obviously has been dropped from the Bunnies. I don't see that lasting. Like, it's fucking Damien Cook, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bunnies, you know, the second hardest strength of schedule for hookers to start the year. They've been putrid. No one wants
They've a bunny. They've got no middles, man. Yeah. They've got no middles.
Shithouse, right?
Arrow's coming back soon.
But this is bottom dollar for Damien Cook. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like if you're running with fucking nothing at hooker, you could do a lot worse than Damien Cook. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
the strength of schedule isn't bad for the Bunnies and the hooking spot, you know, seventh best from rounds 9 to 16. But if I just cast my eye to the strength of schedule in your final, say round 23 to 26, Bunnies have the fourth worst. So if you're going to get him, you want to target him now in the middle of the season.
Yeah, and get something out of him.
And then get something out of him and then flip him before the final start. So he's basement dollar. Another guy that I want to bring up as well is Blake Brayley. We seem to talk about Blake Brayley every year. Strength of schedule, right? Now, the Sharks have the second best strength of schedule in the final system round 23 to 26. Now, I'm only going to talk about rounds 23 to 26 in this podcast because it would just take me too long and it's too much work to cover all final systems. Now, you can do this on the Patreon. You can look at your specific final system and get these stats as well. But for reference, I'll just be using 23 to 26. So, Sharks, second best strength of schedule. Brayley has the best strength of schedule for hookers along those games, 23 to 26. So, looking at the Sharks run for hookers of round 9 to 16. They have the worst. So keep that in the back of your mind that Blake Brayley could be bottom dollar at the end of sort of round 15, 16 coming through these tough matchups. And that's when you buy him because you know that in your finals, he's got the best amongst hookers. So pencil that in, you know, if you're doing your study, you know, he's probably not a target right now, but knowing that he's coming up against a really shit run and targeting him at the back end of that, because maybe his fucking average drops below 50 and the owner's just like, I'll fucking take anyone for Brayley at the moment. They haven't done the study. They haven't had the forethought to think about their finals. And you're like, I'll pick him up for chips. And bang, you've got the number one hooker, strength of schedule-wise, for your finals. So I do like the Brayley move. Not right now, but just keep an eye on that one.
It's one to monitor and definitely one to start putting the word out to owners. I might be interested to trade and just slow play it. Slow play it hard. So when he starts to drop those 50 scores, the 45s, it might drop in there as well.
Yeah, feed him on the chat. Go, how shit is Blake Brayley playing at the moment? What's happened to Blake Brayley? Why is he playing so shit? Like get the chatter going about how bad he's playing and then try and trade for him.
Yeah. Like do it. The best way to do it is you go for a 2-for-2 trade or a 2-for-1 trade on another player.
And it's a
bait and switch. And you pull him in and go, just put Brayley in there. I'll give you, fucking Joey Lasso or even Reed Marnie or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I think it's going to be an easy sell at that point because they'll be looking for wins if they've got a deflated scoring.
Yep, 100%. Totally agree. Love everything about that. All right, let's move on to front row forward. We'll keep this one pretty quick because, it doesn't really fucking matter, right? I know that the strength of schedule is looking at teams that are probably weak in the middle if your front row forward's got a decent run. But, I mean, we don't really give a fuck about front row forward, so it's not like you're going to chase them. No. What's your thoughts here, mate?
Look, the one that stands out as a flip is Jamin Joliffe. So they're coming up against the second hardest strength of schedule for forwards, forwards, rounds 9 to 16. And look, we've just seen Joliffe has overperformed massively. He's scoring tries. Selling him off that 90-point game just makes sense. You'd be able to get like a trade for someone like Stefano or someone like that. It wouldn't necessarily make people bat an eye. Mm. And it's definitely one that you'd consider if you're an owner of either. The one difficulty is Stefano's been outperforming as well. So I've got him down as a fetch. And looking forward to the next round of games, rounds 9 to 16, best strength of schedule in the league for forwards. So Stefano is a real fetch option. Even Haas as well. Now, the Broncos haven't had the best strength of schedule, but when you consider a high-value player that's been out for so long, the owner's going to need to get some wins, most likely. They lost their almost certain captaincy option or vice captaincy option each week. So they're probably looking at a couple of zeros next to their name, a couple of L's. So they'll need to make those W's as soon as possible. And putting a bit of a trade together, having a Jolliffe and maybe tied in with another player, you could do worse. 100% you could do worse.
Yeah, you go down that road of saying, yeah, look, you know, if
even when he's back, what's his output going to be like?
Yeah.
Injury rates, like how much time did he spend off last season? Like, you can spin all sorts of stories about it.
I like the play. All right, that's enough about fucking front row forwards, if I'm honest. Let's get into the two RFs. And so the big ones here, obviously, are your edge back rowers, because you want them coming up against edges in defense that are deficient. So you've got guys like Ezra Mann, who are missing a lot of tackles, Ben Hunt, these guys. Edge back rowers running at deficient defenders is just, it's super coach. Right?
Yum, yum, yum.
So talk to me here, bro. What's your favorite flips and fetches for the edge? We'll do edge back rolls first, and then we'll talk about locks.
All right. So I've done that. So I've got a couple of edge back rollers that I think are definitely ones that I'd target to flip. So Nat Butcher stands out, has a harder strength of schedule moving forward, and there's the obvious job security issues like with the back rowers there. He seems like he's the most nailed on one in the Roosters, so it should be an easier sell. But the harder strength of schedule means the attacking output is probably not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But the big one for me is Jaden Sewer. He has had the easiest strength of schedule of all right 2RFs, and he's leading into the fifth hardest strength of schedule for right 2RFs. So look, I think he's performed at the level that we would expect a good 2RF to come up against weaker defenses. The points are going to dry up, though. The opportunity, the tries, the line break assists, and all that sort of stuff is going to dry up in the next six rounds. And it's really one that you'd want to get the full value of that 67 average or whatever he's at, and really bank on a trade there. He's a player that, look, I picked up off waivers in one of my leagues early on, and look, he's been super valuable. He's been scoring at a really good clip. So it's definitely one that I think it's going to be hard for owners to give up, because, like, I know personally it's like, oh, he's been scoring so well, why would I want to get rid of him? But if you can trade him across to a certified gun that's been underperforming, like, you're mad not to.
Yeah, you got to capitalize on that easy strength of schedule. And that's what these sheets are all about. Big fetch here, Dave Fifita.
Yeah. No, it's definitely one. Look, he's been coming off the bench at the moment, but he's just punching out over 70 scores. He's been absolutely killing it. He's had a fairly difficult strength of schedule at the moment. So I think looking at the strength of schedule, the fifth worst strength of schedule starting the season, but he's moving into the fourth best for left 2RFs. So what that suggests is more try-scoring opportunities. You'd expect the Titans to start to, like, you could see the signs in the Raiders game. So I think things are going to start to click for him in the next month of footy. And look, he's going to get back to 80 minutes. There's no doubting that. And
yeah, exactly.
I think it's, look, for owners, like, and I'm an owner in our home league, like, I've watched quite closely his involvement, all that sort of stuff, and he is ripping and a tearing while he's on the field. And look, I don't know why he didn't start, and it might be something to do with some they're trying to save him and make sure his impact in the game is in the majority of the game, so they take the sting out of it initially. But you can start to spin some stories, you can start to talk with the owner to try to pry him out of their hands. You'd have to do it with a 2-for-1 trade. There is no doubting that. But look, with that strength of schedule moving forward, huge opportunity there.
And he's one you've got to strike right now.
Because he is going to, look, he's heading towards a 90 average season, because he's returned. Apparently, when we were speaking with Brian and our physio, He said his return to performance would take time.
Mm.
I'm looking at him and he's returned to performance at the moment. And if this is him still recovering from that pec injury, like, holy shit. Was it pec or bicep? I can't remember.
Pec.
Yeah. So look, I feel like, yeah, this is a watershed moment right now for your season. If you can get David Fifita for almost anything, I would do it.
Yep.
The Titans are trash, but anything the Titans do is off the back of Fifita.
For sure. And you're capitalizing on the Titans being so shit and everyone talking about how shit they are.
They're not going to be this shit the rest of the season.
Yeah. Well, even if they are, who fucking cares? Because Fifita's still going to be great. Like, exactly. You don't need the Titans to be good for Fifita to be great, right? Because they lean on him so much. Now, if we move into the locks, now this is where – so keep Fifita in the back of your mind because this gets really interesting because there's a couple of flips here that I like. One of them you've highlighted, another one that I'll talk about. The first one is Jermaine Hopgood. As a flip at lock, talk to me about him.
Yeah, so look, we know that the minutes are going to be a bit of an issue and the impact of Maddo on his minutes. He's also had a bit of an inflated inflated games where, like, he's got a lot of attacking stats. Those aren't always going to be there. And one of the reasons why he's had those attacking stats is he's had far and away the easiest strength of schedule for rounds 1 to 6 out of any team opposing locks. So he moves forward. And from rounds 9 to 16, goes into the second hardest strength of schedule. So things are going to dry up from an attacking point of view very quickly for Hopgood.
100%. So he's had 1 try and 2 assists over 6 games, which is that's a high attacking output for a lock, right?
Yeah.
And you're right.
He's not really a ball playing lock.
No. Yeah. No. So he has been floating around that 60 minutes the last couple of rounds, but. Yeah, again, like a perfect flip candidate to go get David Fifita. Like if you could flip Jermaine Hopgood to get David Fifita, I love that. That's a great move.
Absolutely.
And yeah. it's probably a move that you could get over the line 1 for 1 right now if you started doing that right now. The other one I want to talk about is Paddy Carrigan. This is great because I own both of these motherfuckers. But anyway,
they're both Paddy flip Carrigan. Targets.
Paddy Carrigan, so strength of schedule for the Broncos with the lock position has been the third best to start the season. But not only that, and more importantly, Haas has been out.
Yeah,
so Paddy Carrigan has been playing 80 minutes. He's not going to play 80 minutes for the rest of the season, just while Payne Haas is out. Once he comes back and that middle is more formidable, you know, Paddy Carrigan will probably go back to that sort of high 60 minutes. And you're talking about a ball-playing lock here that does give the ball on, that does hurt his Supercoach score. Now, yeah. I will be shopping Paddy Carrigan around because it'd be stupid of me not to. Because, I mean, since Payne Haas has been injured, he's pretty much a set-and-forget 70-point captain. 70 to 75 every single game in pure base, not doing anything else, right? So people are going to look at that and go, oh, fuck, like, sign me up. Take it whoever you want.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, I'm pretty set at 2RFs. Like, I'm even thinking of using Pat Carrigan to target Payne Haas and going Carrigan for Payne Haas because my front row forwards are so shit. So using
I thought after last week they're non-existent.
They are. Yeah, I had to waiver both my front row forwards. So I do... Technically, I have front row forwards, but I don't have front row forwards. So, you know, using Paddy Carrigan to get Payne Haas, that's something I'll be looking at. Yeah, over the, you know, because then I'm strengthening my front row forward position. I'm getting a guy that's probably going to average 70 in Payne Haas and a captaincy option, and I'm getting rid of that risk of Carrigan, you know, regressing once Haynes comes back. So I like the play of flipping both those guys, Jermaine Hopgood and Paddy Carrigan. Look, if you don't get it over the line, I'm sure these guys are going to be elite Supercoach players for the rest of the season. I just don't think they're going to be this good.
I think there's like a 5-point regression for each of them.
Mm.
And that's just according to the strength of schedule for Hopgood. And just due to the team structure for Carrigan, like it's, I think it's a no-brainer.
Mm. Yep. So I love those two guys. You need to be talking about that. And then, yeah, fetching David Feeder. It doesn't get any fucking simpler than that. And do it quick. Do it before he has that huge. You know it's coming.
Oh, for sure.
You know it's coming where he has that 120-point game. Then nobody's giving him up. You know, exactly. Strike now. You need to get that over the line right now.
Yeah,
Anyone else you want to talk about here for the flip and fetches for the two RFs?
Look, I mean, the one that kind of stands out a little bit is Eli Katoa off the back of that that 46-point game. I mean, that's not going to happen very often. It's a real tough one to get across the line because Eli Katoa is just an absolute out-and-out gun. But if you're up against a pretty juvenile Supercoach player, then give it a crack.
Take advantage. Another guy I do want to talk about as a fetch for looking ahead to your strength of schedule in your finals, so 23 to 26 again, is Britton Nicara. So he started the season.
Underperformed.
57, then had a 25 because he had that suspension. Then he had a 60 on the weekend. Pretty much did fuck all to get that 60. He's a guy you need to target right now to get over the line. But looking ahead, like I said earlier, the Sharks have the second best strength of schedule in the final system, 23 to 26. He has the second best strength of schedule for right edge back rowers in those games. So getting him now while he's cheap and then reaping the benefits throughout the season, but then coming into your finals, having him, yum. I really, really like that.
No, for sure. That's an absolute awesome pickup. If you can get that across the line now before he starts to score again, you'll get him cheap as chips too.
Yep. Big time. All right, let's get into the halves. So we'll do our best here to talk about halfbacks and 5/8s, but we've got them listed as left half and right half because that's statistically more sound and more accurate when you're looking at how they're scoring on the field and how teams are defending them. So let's have a look at some halfbacks that you want to flip, bro.
All right. So there's only really one that stands out massively, and it's Jamal Fogarty. So he's a great flip option coming off that 96, but he's leading in to the worst strength of schedule for right halves for rounds 9 to 16. And he's just coming off the second best strength of schedule for right halves. So, look, he's performing quite well, going at 64-ish average. Look, now's the time to strike. Like, we were big on Fogarty at the start of the season, but this is well above where we're expecting him to kind of land. We're expecting his average to go at about a 58, moving towards 60, but 64 is absolute gravy. And big reason for that is that big 96. So you want to be like taking advantage of that if you can.
For sure. 100%. And also just looking ahead to your strength of schedule for your finals, the Raiders have the worst strength of schedule. So
there's a good reason to get rid of him.
If you can get rid of him now,
that's
the fucking play. Another guy I really like for a flip is Daly Cherry Evans.
Yeah.
Obviously, last couple of games, he's just gone supersonic. So you're selling a guy, you know, at his absolute peak. He's got 83, 128, 103. So the time is now. Fucking yum. Or especially after this round, because they play the Titans, you'd think DCE has a really good game here. Then you've got a four-game stretch of him probably going over 100 points. I mean, fucking sign me up for a flip there. And if you look ahead to your finals, fucking Manly. No bueno in the finals. They've got the second hardest strength of schedule. DCE has the hardest strength of schedule for right halves from rounds 23 to 26. Sell him now, people. Shop him around right fucking now. And people are going to think they've won the lotto if you start selling DCE now, and you get anyone.
He's got a 76 average. You'll literally almost get anyone apart from Cleary or Cleary or Hines, really.
I'd be packaging DCE up with someone to get SJ.
Because
no one's giving Nico, no one's giving Cleary. DCE up with someone to get an SJ trade over the line, love that.
or even like a one-to-one for Hughes or something like that.
Love that as well.
Yeah.
Love that as well. So, yeah, I do love DCE as a big flip here. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about fetches for halfback, bro?
I mean, Cleary is an obvious fetch target with the injury uncertainty and all that sort of stuff you can spin. He's got the second best strength of schedule for right halves as well coming up. Mm-hmm. So definitely another thing to put in the mix. But look, you're really not going to prime out of the hands of the owner. So a more attainable one would be Jerome Hughes. He's a fetch target with a strong strength of schedule moving forward. Rounds 9 to 6, 16, got a strength of schedule fourth best in the league. So for right halves, he's performed quite well for a mid-range strength of schedule. So I think it's eighth ranking. I think he's almost overperformed at the difficult nature of the strength of schedule. And he's put out some really decent scores as well. So yeah, he's one that I'd be targeting. Even if I was a DCE owner, I'd be looking to try to get a one for one trade across the line, because they've both been going at a similar average, but I just see the signs with Hughes just a little bit better, just with a few of their middles coming back and a few things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Hughes. He's definitely on the target zone for me. Another one, a little bit harder to get over the line, but obviously with a bit of a dip in performance to start the year, Nico Hines. Now, you're going to have to sell the farm to get him, right?
Jesus, yeah.
But if you are the DCE owner, if you are the SJ owner, you've got a couple of halfbacks there that are fucking harming at the moment.
Mm.
You're going to have to package them up with someone good as well to get Nico Hines. But again, rounds 23 to 26, Sharks, second best strength of schedule.
Mm.
You know, they got Titans, Knights, Dragons in there. He's got the best strength of schedule for right halves among those games. So, yes, you're selling the farm right now to get him, but fuck, that's going to pay dividends at the back end of the season in your finals, maybe your grand final when you need him most and you've got the best halfback, you know, the top scoring halfback of that round, then you'll look back and go, I would have fucking traded more. I would have given more for him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just keep that in the back of your mind because, yeah, he's going to – they've had a tough run to start the season from rounds 9 to 16 as well. They have another tough run, the Sharks. So just keep an eye on him and how he's performing. And if he dips again, people are going to be pissed off because they've taken him one or two overall in the draft.
Most people would have taken him one for sure.
Yep. So, you know, if they can get a DCE and someone for Nico Hines, you know, they're probably going to pull the trigger there. So just keep that in mind with Nico.
I love that. Should we talk to 5'8"?
5'8", let's get into 5'8", mate. Flips, talk to me.
Well, there's one that really stands out, and it's Tamara Martin. So people would have picked him up off waivers when the Metcalf injury came in. Mm-hmm. Look, he's a mad flip target because, look, they're coming into a more difficult run of games now. Between rounds 9 to 16. So cashing in off the back of those real tasty scores just makes so much sense. He's going to be slightly overvalued even more so because he's such a classic target at the moment.
And
always lean in to the classic chatter and feed it in if it's beneficial to your trade. Always talk about it and say, oh, mate, all these content creators are talking about it. Fuck, Guru loves him. But Guru's a classic player. We know this.
Yeah, he's a classic guy, big classic guy.
Big classic guy. use those sort of tactics to try to promote your trade. And look, I'm not saying Tamara Martin won't keep it up because, look, he's been going really well and he's looking very sharp. But it's against an easier set of opposition. So for the left half, they've had the second best strength of schedule in the first eight games. Leading into the next set of games, it's the sixth hardest. So the attacking opportunities are just going to dry up a little bit for him. Deflated scoring, he's just going to come back to earth a little bit, that's all.
Mm. Yeah, I do like that. And, I mean, we're just looking at the fetches here. A guy that, you know, you could probably get over the line, AJ Brimson. You know, a Tamara Martin for AJ Brimson maybe.
Mm.
Especially now that he'll move back to fullback for the Titans. and he looked Grease Lightning when he got moved back to fullback weekend.
Big time.
So, you know, that's a trade you might be able to get over the line there. And, you know, as long as Campbell is out, Brimson is going to play fullback and he's going to be better suited for higher Supercoach scores when he's playing back there.
Yeah. No, he definitely looks good. But Phil Sammy obviously playing a bit of fullback as well.
Sammy got named at fullback. Yeah, sorry, fuck. Yeah,
so
that's
so
weird.
Probably not the last time he played fullback was way back in 2020. And that was the season that he got picked for Origin as well.
Brimson looks so good when they moved him back there during the game.
I am utterly shocked that they haven't got Tom Weaver. So Tom Weaver was a goal kicker as well. So they're almost certainly going to give the goal kicking tee across to Kelly again, who was lucky to hit the side of a barn in this first kick last week. So look, as a Kelly owner, I'm not sure whether I'm stoked that he's a goal kicking now.
Yeah,
he's as bad as Stags. But I don't see Brimo going back to the centres. It just won't happen. Especially now that Sammy's back, once Campbell comes back into the fold. I think if they lose by 2 points again, they'll definitely be looking at bringing Tom Weaver back into the fold or Tanner Boyd.
Got to do something, haven't they?
Yeah, I can't see it working. But look, I'm not exactly an NRL coach, so can't really say too much there. But do you want to talk about some fetches? So from a fetch option, I've got Dylan Brown. He's a fantastic fetch target. So he's got a deflated average so far, but he's coming into a really strong strength of schedule moving forward. So he's had the sixth worst strength of schedule for left halves. Moving into, though, the best strength of schedule by far for rounds 9 to 16. So definitely one that I think his scores are going to go nuclear, very quickly because Dejan Arzi just seems to unlock him a bit more. Takes away that responsibility for the organizing plays, and he just plays eyes up footy, and that's what he counts numbers, and he takes the opportunities when he sees them. He's not having to think about 15 different things at once, and he's just not that type of player yet. So I think taking that responsibility off him. With Dejan Arzi there rather than Blaise Delaney, I think that's going to be huge. That has been huge last week, and it's just going to go from strength to strength. Now is the time you need to get this sorted very quickly, this trade.
Yeah, I mean, you're targeting Brown at the lowest of the low. This is the lowest average he's had the last 3 years. So
exactly.
That is a no-brainer there with Dylan Brown. I really like that. A guy that I miss talking about with the halfbacks is Ben Hunt. Dragons have the best strength of schedule for your finals, round 23 to 26. So a guy that, you know, people are like, meh, neither here, neither there about him. We know how well Lomax has been playing. He's got a very good strength of schedule in your finals as well. So, you know, there's another guy along with Hughes and SJ that you could be turning DCE into.
Yeah, no, I like that play. And Ben Hunt of 22 as captain fame.
Yes, my boy.
Your boy. One other fetch is Tommy Dearden. So obviously the Cows have had an up and down start to the season, Tommy Dearden especially. Coming into a bit of an easier run moving forward, but I think the 56 average that he's been plodding along at, that's going to be towards the bottom end of what we see from him. Now it's probably a good time to strike and get something across the line there. Just feels like you could quite easily get that sort of trade going, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, doesn't really have that big name in Supercoach at the moment, so people are willing to let go of him. So, yeah, that's a nice little fetch there. All right, mate, let's get into the CTWs because this is the big one. CTWs are the big one when we're talking about strength of schedule because if you listen to us, you've probably got a healthy rotation of maybe 5 or 6 if you've got a full side, or if you're like us, you might have 3 or 4 that you're rotating in through 2 spots. And having that healthy rotation of guys that have good strength of schedule, that's how you win games. That's how you win tough matchups when you're playing guys that have got good strength of schedule and come up with favorable matchups. So talk to me about some guys you want to flip, guys that have outperformed their averages or predicted averages to start the year.
Okay, you're going to have to hold your ears here because you're not going to like this one. Matty Timoko, he's coming into the harder strength of schedule for right centers. He's had the third easiest strength of schedule for right centers. Obviously, that 71 average, I think, is slightly inflated due to that soft strength of schedule to start the season. Mm-hmm. It's all going to come crashing down a little bit because it's far and away the worst strength of schedule for right centers. So it's definitely one that, look, I think the attacking opportunities are going to dry up a bit. He's still got a decent base on him, so it's not going to hurt you too much if you do want to hold. But yeah, if you want to leverage on those nice scores, I think they're going to dry up in the next few weeks. And we were just talking before about the Raiders' strength of schedule during finals. So I've got another one to look at as well. And this one is for a different reason. So James Schuller has obviously gone really well in the first couple of games, has an insane amount of chatter in the classic world at the moment due to his break even and his cash generation potential and all that sort of jazz. But realistically, he's unlikely to keep his right wing spot. The guy can't defend. Now he's had a bunch. He's almost leading the league in try causes and line break causes, and he's only played two games. So look, I don't think it'll take long for Sticky to put two and two together. And as soon as Albert Hopewadi is right to go, they'll do a swapsy between Schiller and Hopewadi. And look, you're going to have a guy in your team that's an unplanned reserve. You might as well get something out of him now. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll see him score 70 or 100 or something like that in another team 1 or 2 weeks. But it's gonna stop completely after that.
I really do like that Timoko call, and I'm in negotiations with maybe 3 or 4 people, and Timoko is in every single fucking trade negotiation. One, I don't need him. Like, I love him, but I don't need him. You know, I'm running with Lomax, RTS, Eero, and Timoko at the moment, so I don't need him. But also, I'm selling. I still want that 124 to be fresh in people's minds when they're after him, you know? So having him in all negotiations at the moment, I think, is a very smart play, partnering him up with someone to get a better player. So I love Timoko.
How good is it trading high-value surplus players? It's the best. It's the best.
Amazing.
And amazing. When you've got those sort of players and you want to do two-for-ones, have a look on your bench about what value you can add to that trade to get it across the line. Because if you're not using those bench players and they're not really adding too much to your injury coverage, mate, just add them in. Get it across the line. Take a step forward. Yep. So some of the fetches, so big ones, DCE. I mean, sorry, not DCE. DWZ, another triple barrel name. Dylan Mortelli-Zalesniak, strong upcoming strength of schedule. Plus, the big kicker for me is we've just seen in the last couple of weeks, CNK's return has entirely unlocked that right edge. Mm-hmm. And he is always the beneficiary of those attacking raids on the right side. So he's a huge pickup now before he just starts to go absolutely insane. I mean, the horse is almost bolted on it. So it might be a tough one to get across the line, but yeah, the signs are looking good for another big season with DWZ.
Yeah. I like DWZ as a pick.
You go, mate.
Like you said, with CNK back in the side, that right edge sweep is starting to fire up. And if you try and go and get him after, you know, 3 or 4 rounds where he's scored every single game, you're not going to get him. It's as simple as that. You have to have a little bit of forethought and think ahead and be ahead of the curve and go now.
Yeah, for sure. Another couple that I've looked at, and they're moderate fetch targets, is Jesse Ramien and Nick Meaney. So Jesse Ramien has gone from the fourth hardest strength of schedule, and he's moving into the fourth easiest strength of schedule. So we should be looking at a bit of an uplift in attack and output. Look, he's gone at a 54 clip that's kind of where we see him. So I think he's anywhere between that 54 to 60 point average player. And I think he's going to get lean more towards that 60 point average towards the back end of this next round of next grouping of rounds. So he's one to that you could get for fairly limited cost, I would imagine. Similarly for Nick Meaney, he's been going okay, but I do think that Storm are going to be turning a corner. And the strength of schedule for Nick Meaney specifically has been fifth hardest at the moment from rounds 1 to 8, moves into the second easiest. And that's where I'm really interested in. But the run of games moving forward for the Storm are a bit softer. So look, they've just had their bye as well. So yeah, we'll be looking at some inflation to his scoring potential. Obviously, being the goal kicker, he'll be a beneficiary of the Storm going better as well. So definitely a couple of options there you could get across the line for limited cost.
Mm, yeah, I do like them. What's your thoughts on guys like Val Holmes? And
the only reason why I didn't include Val Holmes is I just feel like you, with how well he's performed, you not only have to sell the farm, you have to sell the property. No, across
flipping
the
road.
Oh, flipping him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're selling him at an absolute tippity top of price.
Yep.
So, yes, 100%. If you can turn him into say DWZ and someone else. I love that because you will 100% be able to get that across the line.
100%. So I'm sort of like casting my mind to finals again. So you're looking at Val Holmes, Joey Manu, some real big swinging dicks. Actually, and Selwyn Cobbo as well. I'll put him in this conversation as well because he's been outperforming his predicted average. And specifically looking at Val Holmes and Selwyn Cobbo, you know, the round 23 to 26 finals strength of schedule, you know, the Broncos have got a bye in round 24. Cows have got a bye in round 25. So if you're selling high on a guy that has a bye in your finals system, that's a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And if you're using a guy like Val Holmes to get, because you'll be able to get 2-for-1 for him. So you've got two players coming in this side, and you're bolstering your starting 13. The only issue with that is he's probably a really good VC, or if he's his captain option, that's hard to get rid of that guy. Yeah. But if you're non-captain's league, like this just has to be done.
That's an absolute no-brainer. No-brainer.
Yeah. And so like the Cows, even with their bye, they've got the Broncos, Canberra and Melbourne. So
defensive teams, all three.
Tough, man. So I would really be looking at getting rid of Val Holmes for someone that's got a really sexy strength of schedule in your finals. I mean, just looking at, we talked about Sharks, so Mulatalo, Iro even, or the Knights have the third best strength of schedule. So you're looking at Marzu, Panthers, fourth best strength of schedule, Tago, like Val Holmes into Tago. That's yum. You know the Panthers are going to be up and about. They'll be peaking at that point of the season. I really do like that. Cobbo as well. I mean, Broncos, you've got Cowboys by Parramatta Dolphins. So their strength of schedule is a little bit easier around that bye. So you would probably rather get rid of someone from like Val Holmes. But I like talking about these guys because people are scared to trade them. People, the Val Holmes listeners, owners that are listening would be going, there's no way I can trade Val Holmes. No way. Yeah. But you can. I promise you, you can.
Every single
player. And you'll be better for it.
Every single player is tradable for the right price.
Yep.
Every single player.
Yep. And so, again, if you trade Val Holmes and you get Isaac Tago and someone else, and then in the finals, Tago fucking beats Val Holmes' score over that four-game stretch by hundreds, you'll be going, I should have done it earlier.
I'm a genius.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. So just keep an eye on Val Holmes, because I'd just be floating his name about the place, 100%. John Manu as well, like playing fullback on the weekend, you know, capitalizing on selling high on him as well. I do like that.
Yeah, for sure. And one other one that's a bit of a fetch target as well is Sione Katoa. So obviously the forgotten edge for the for the Sharkies, but just with their strength of schedule at the back end of the season and in the transition between this current rounds 1-8 into 9-16, goes from the second hardest strength of schedule. He's obviously off for this week, but moving into the fourth best strength of schedule. So definitely one that, look, he'll pay you dividends now and in the finals potentially. So one to consider as well, because you might be able to get him for on the cheap. He might even be on some waivers, if I'm honest.
Yeah, for sure, 100%. Another guy I'll chuck in there as well is Taruva.
Yeah.
So you're buying Taruva without Cleary in the side. So, you know, not as much traffic going down his edge. Panthers have had the bye. You know, you're buying him at a low point here, but also Panthers with that fourth best strength of schedule in your finals. He has the best strength of schedule for right wings. So Taruva, like another sexy little target there as well.
Yeah, definitely. And he doesn't have the name of your Tungos and all that. No. So you can easily shoehorn him into a trade, do an old bait and switch, and get that one across the line.
You know, you sell Val Holmes for a top tier CTW and just go, oh, and chuck in Taruva as well while you're there.
Exactly.
And I go, yeah, I'm getting Val Holmes, of course. In he goes.
Thanks for coming. Well, you're Val Holmes, Arnie. You stop the podcast for a sec. Just go into your league, see who's the Taruva owner, see what else they've got on offer, and start to think in your head, okay, what could I possibly get across the line for two for one here? And then look. You could end up getting bolstering not just your CTWs, but another position.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. 100%. And again, we're talking about that classic chat, helping you in draft. Holmes. Everyone is sucking Val Holmes' dick in classic.
He's a gun. He's a must have. He's a must have.
He's a keeper. Oh, you haven't got Val Holmes? Oh, you idiot. Get him in. Fuck. Yeah. Capitalizing on that is very, very good.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into fullbacks here. Now, this is going to be an interesting chat talking about the number one scoring position for Supercoach. Who do you like to flip coming out of the first 6-7 rounds of the season?
Fucking hurts me to say this, but Tommy Turbo.
Mm-hmm.
This one's only if you're chasing wins. I wouldn't personally do it just because I know the supersonic potential that he's got, but he's going from the best strength of schedule for fullbacks, moving into the worst strength of schedule for fullbacks. And look, if you've started the season poorly, you haven't got wins on the board, chasing a player who's got a better strength of schedule just makes sense. So turning him into someone like Ryan Pappenhausen, who has a good strength of schedule, a Dylan Edwards, who's got a good strength of schedule, a Reece Walsh, potentially, who has a good strength of schedule, is something that you need to consider, because it's wins are what get you in the finals. And if you started the season poorly, it's really hard to make up for it at the back end of the season. If you've got some injuries floating around and certain other things impacting your scores, there's no point in having the best team going into finals and you're not making the finals.
Exactly. Mate, this is a good chat. Because people would be fucking petrified to do this.
Oh, even writing this out and me thinking about it, I'm like, oh.
Pen was shaking.
It's really hard to wrap your head around it, but you've got to look at what are your options moving forward. If you've got a deflated scoring potential for your absolute gun player who will be your VC or captaincy target each week, you've got to consider it. You've got to consider it. Even if you try to make it a 2-for-2 and try to lopside the trade towards yourself, it's something you've got to start to look to negotiate, because look, his scoring potential is going to drop and your opportunities are going to drop when his average drops.
I do like that Turbo into Ryan Pappenhausen play. They've got a really sexy strength of schedule.
The Storm and Sharks.
And
we were talking about it before. Like, the Storm play a lot of games Thursday, Friday night. Ryan Pappenhausen is your perfect VC option. Perfect VC option.
Not only that, if you look further ahead, I've said it, Manly have a poor strength of schedule in your Supercoach finals 23-26. Pappenhausen doesn't. He has a very good run. They do play Panthers in round 24, but outside of that, they've got the Bunnies, Dolphins, and Cows.
If you play your cards right, you like in our finals schedule, you could be skipping that round.
Well, exactly.
If you play, if you land high enough in the table, you're skipping that round. Don't matter.
Here we go. They've got Bunnies on a Thursday night, round 23. Vice Captain Pappy, you win that round. You get the next round off. Panthers, see you later. Who gives a fuck? Come back in. Dolphins? Dolphins? And then Cowboys. I mean, Cowboys are leaking points everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's your grand final.
Yeah.
See you, Turbo.
I've talked myself into that trade now. I'm stoked for that trade. So a few of the fetches I was looking at is Dylan Edwards, a very tough one to get across the line, just with how well he's gone at the start of the season. But look, he's averaged 90 points over the fourth hardest strength of schedule, including a bye. Like, obviously, this is part of it's due to him going really well when Cleary's out, because he obviously steps up, does fuck ton of runs, gets a lot of attacking stats and things like that. He's just going to be really hard to attain because of that average to start the season. A lot easier one to attain will obviously be Reece Walsh, coming off that sub 40 dog shit putrid score with a try. Owners will be pretty pissed off, to say the least, that he played an 80-minute game and really didn't do too much. I mean, he's always had the potential to drop those sort of games because he has to do a lot for the points that he scores. And we just saw that he looked flashy, but he wasn't putting a lot of those plays together against the Finns. So, look, I feel like now's the time to strike with him. At a 60 average, I think he's going to go up and up. Moving into the fourth best strength of schedule, I think his scores are going to go up and up. And as soon as he gets more and more games under his belt, he's going to have a lot more confidence with that facial fracture as well. So I think that was probably holding him back a bit. And that's definitely something to consider when you're looking at fetching him. Yes, you might get a few deflated scores in the next, say, month while he's sorting out his head. But after that, I think, yeah, it's gonna go up and up from there. One thing you obviously got to consider with that is that round 24 bye. It's a tough one to wrap your head around, in my opinion.
It is, for sure. But hopefully you just get that off. Do you know what I mean? So you've got Cowboys round 23. That's going to be your first finals game.
Yep.
He could go fucking supersonic nuclear in that game. Mm. And I'm just having a look at when
Eels and Dolphins in 25 and 26. So that is very tasty.
Yep. So it's a 5:30 Saturday game. So you still could possibly VC.
Yeah, it's a late VC. Racy
in that one there. Hopefully you get the round off the next one, and then Parramatta Dolphins. I mean, that's
like, it's absolute gravy for your fullback, because those are awesome, awesome matchups.
Yeah. He's not as worrisome as the next guy I'm going to talk about, and that is Drinky.
Yeah.
So, like I said with Val Holmes, you know, they've got that bye in round 25, and then surrounding that bye is tough opposition, Melbourne, Canberra, Broncos. So he's got the worst strength of schedule amongst fullbacks, Drinky.
Yep.
And again, just like the Turbo trade, trading Drinky to Ryan Pappenhausen would just be the best. Like, I mean, you need to be doing that now. Drinky, the way that he's playing, and the scores that he's putting up to start the season, you just need to capitalize on that.
You could genuinely get a 2-for-1 trade across the line.
For sure.
For Drinky, Pappy, for Pappy and someone else possibly.
And the thing is, I'd be happy just with the straight swap. I mean, 83 points he's averaging at the moment. He's been an absolute everything. And I mean, if it wasn't for the bye and that hard strength of schedule, you would keep him for sure. Like, he's an absolute weapon. But you're looking at that rolling average now having 105 and 144 in it. You want to keep people very fixated on that 144 points that he put up against the Titans in this trade. 100%. So if you were the Drinky owner, I would be floating his name around, especially to the Pappy owner, because the Pappy owner might be like, Pappy's been okay, but I could get a certified fucking super coach gun that doesn't have knee issues in this trade. Give me Drinky. And you're like, great. Now I've got Pappy.
Ankle, all sorts of issues.
Yeah.
Drinky's not having any of that.
No, exactly. So that's how you sort of get that trade over the line. So I'd be looking. Cows worry me. If I had cows, especially even, that 23-26
like, finals. I keep looking at the strength, the finals schedule for the Storm, and like that Bunnies round 23.
Like, good, man.
Fuck, it's good. Is there any team better to come up against at the moment?
Pump them.
Yeah.
Oh, pump them.
As a Pappy owner, I'm absolutely stoked.
Thursday night. This. Bang, bang.
Fuck.
All right. Me. So that is all the flip and fetch sheets done for the, I guess it's the quick start into the Battle of Midway. So rounds 1-8 into rounds 9-16. Henceforth, so the next flip and fetch that'll be done around round 15, something like that. Mm. Usually we do the next flip and fetch on a big buy round, so there's not a lot of super coach to talk about. That one will be heavily focused on prepping you for your finals. So it'll be like looking at guys that have outperformed or underperformed during those rounds 9-16, and then flipping or fetching them in regards to your strength of schedule. And then later on, we'll back that up with podcasts specifically designated finals chat. So we'll do a podcast on the 22-25 and we'll talk about guys we like for that system. We'll do a podcast on the final system 23-26 and the guys that we like for that. And then one for your 24-27. So the three big final system, we'll have a podcast on each of them and we'll try and get that out as early as possible. Usually like to get that around round 17, so it gives you plenty of time to start prepping for those finals. But there, big flip and fetch into your finals, rub downs, and start getting your gear geared up for finals. Because by that point, you probably know if you're going to be in the finals or not and whether you need to start altering your team to get the biggest boom for your buck.
Exactly. No, I love that.
All right. Should we get into the useless cunt punt? First one
of the year. Of
the season, and there's...
You're a first-class cunt.
There was a list as long as my ultra.
Fuck off out of it.
Useless. You surprise me to how shit you are.
Okay.
That's such a good sting.
I have dwindled the list down to guys that were mentioned two or three times in the post that we put up on the Patreon. So we're talking about Sean Lane, Cody Walker, Taylor May, Greg Marzu, and Ryan Madison tonight.
The fact I own two of them hurts me.
Let's start with Sean Lane.
Yep.
What do we do with Sean Lane, because he has been underwhelming to say the least, bro?
Yeah, and look, I think a lot of that has to do with how underwhelming Dylan Brown has been. I mean, it just from an eye test perspective, he hasn't been involved as much. And this is Lane I'm talking about. And look, you really need involvement from him. He's just not that type of player. If he's not scoring points, scoring tries, and if he's not putting people away with his offloads, he's not doing much. Look, it's...
Even when he scored that try, he scored 62 points. Yeah, that's just not good enough.
I think he has to go. I'd sold him in Classic, and look, if I was an owner, a 47 average, like, there are better options out there. You don't want to be missing another KPP when they pop their heads up. It's, I'd be turning him into someone else. I was huge on him at the start of the season because I thought the potential was there for him to go up another level, and he's actually gone backwards, which I didn't think was possible.
And a couple of the big 2RF names coming out of round 6, Angus Crichton and Sean Blore, you would drop Sean Lane for those two guys in a heartbeat.
In a second. In an absolute heartbeat. Like, even looking at Lukey coming back, I'll be looking at Lukey more than holding on to Sean Lane. It's a real tough one because I know the potential that Lane's got, and when Moses comes back, I think the team will be fit and firing. It's just until then, I'm not that confident that Lane finds a way to the line.
Mm. All right, first one. Punted.
Done. Punt.
See you, cunt. All right, Cody Walker next. Your boy. What do we do here? 5'8" is a very scary position.
Yeah.
But he has been bad. He has been bad, bad. Well, the Bunnies have been really bad.
The Bunnies as a whole have been bad. I think he's actually overperformed. If a player who's scored 46 average has overperformed, it's probably Cody Walker. Look, he's an out and out gun when he goes well and when the Bunnies are firing. Do you think the Bunnies are going to fire at any point this season? Like with their list, you can't assume that they're just going to be this shit the rest of the season. I think with Arrow coming back in the coming weeks, Totola will be back after getting injured. Look, their middles are just getting beaten each and every game. You can't, like, a half can't dominate against a team that are dominating their forwards. Like, it's just that simple. They need a platform to be laid before they can start doing their thing. One of the things that has concerned me that when they've been in attacking positions, that left edge has looked clunky in attack. That's been a concern. They obviously don't have they're losing wingers left, right, and center. It's fucking wild. So they've lost AJ. Then the guy who came in and replaced him, Isaac Thompson, got injured, and then now we've just got Tyrone Munro. He's now injured as well. So I don't really know what's going to happen, and who's going to come in. Whether it's Jacob Gagai who comes in again this next week, but yeah, it's. I'm an owner. I'm sticking. I'm tucking and running. But there's always a but. The only reason why I'm doing that, and I'm comfortable doing that, is because I've got Lachlan Galvin who I picked up off waivers.
And that's what you should be doing. I mean, I get it that people probably don't want to drop Cody Walker back to the waivers. I would. He would be a punt from me. I don't see the Bunnies turning this around. I think the problems that they got far extend their performance on the field. Mm. I think there's a cancer at that club that has filtrated through the team, the coaching staff, the back office. I think they've got a lot of work to turn this around. I think Cody Walker's a step off the pace. He is another year older, obviously. Yeah. He has looked a little slow. And I get it that, yeah, look, it's hard to drop him because he is Cody Walker, but at the very bare minimum, you need to be doing what Walker's done and get in another 5'8 and just bench Walker and just don't play him. You're not starting Cody Walker at the moment. Honestly, yeah. I'd start Max Plath over fucking Cody Walker at the moment.
No, genuinely.
Pick Plathy up. He's going to get you 50 points. He's going to play lock.
Yep.
Bang. And you don't have to worry about it.
You need to be, like, if you are a Cody Walker owner, you need to be looking at your bench options and look at trying to get a trade across the line for someone like even as Isaiah Katoa is such a great option to bring in there. Because if Cody ends up firing and comes back to anywhere towards his best, you have got a bench option that you can put in your halfback or 5'8 spot that's got you pretty decent coverage. And I think that Katoa's going to have a pretty good season as well. Like, he's going to – he looks really good.
Here's three guys that are sitting below 15% ownership that I would start over Cody Walker right now. Jock Madden, Max Plath, Dejan Arce.
Yeah, and look, I think the Max Plath one is close to a rest-of-season option. Obviously, the Dejan Arce is a stopgap solution, but it's a good one. Like, honestly, like, Dejan Arce looked right at home. Had a couple of errors in defense, but looked absolutely right at home. So I don't see Blaze Tamangi coming in and spoiling the party there. It's a tough one because you would have spent a decent draft pick on him. Some people would have sold the farm and got him round three. But look, sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. I won in my second pick with Pappy, but it was definitely a shot at the dartboard that I thought was going to be a set and forget, like 60-65. But he's so far from that.
Yeah. I mean, look, we'll say don't punt him, but please get someone else in there that you can play
coverage.
Over him.
You need coverage, for sure.
Yep. Next guy, Taylor May. So I had Taylor May at the start of the season, and he was looking really good, really base heavy. Left edge just isn't getting a lot of love for the Panthers, and I get why people are very fucking over Taylor May, because the base has dropped away as well. So you're not getting
I thought everyone was off him because of that fucking neck tart.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's another reason. But, you know, he started the season and he had like a 67 and a 53 without any real attacking stats. And you're like, wow, this is fucking unbelievable. Then he's gone 30, 27, 38. So worrisome. And I got rid of him. So, like, he's a punt for me, because there's just gold. There's gold on the waivers every week for CTW.
And he's a dead set punt. If you can get him, if you can change him into a semi, I would. In a heartbeat.
100%. Like, let's just have a look at the guys that are sitting below 35% ownership now that I would start over May. There'd be a lot of them, I guarantee you. Because we had, I mean, Connor Tracy's sitting at 40, but I'd rather him over Taylor May. You've got... Yep, Philip Sammy, he's there. It'd be helpful if I fucking clicked CTW in the filter here. There it we go. That's would, better.
Yeah, it probably would. I could have it. That'd be rude.
No, they just sit there and watch me fucking flip about the place and laugh. Mate, Jason Saab comes back this week.
Jason Saab, right edge
for Manly.
Yeah, coming back from a hemi injury. That his type of game though.
Josh Adokar, 17%.
He'll shoot up. Everyone will be chasing last week's points for sure.
There's a couple of guys.
Semi Valame for sure this week.
Valame, yeah, for sure, 100%.
I'd almost start Bailey Simonson if he wasn't playing wing.
Exactly, and the thing is, it's like because. I think it's 74% or something of the Panthers are scoring down their right edge. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just there's never going to be – the way they're going now anyway, there's never going to be a chance where you're like, whoa, May's got a really good matchup this week. I'll play him. Because it doesn't matter. They don't use the ball down that edge. So, of course, you've got to drop May to get someone good, but every week there's been at least one really good CTW that – you know, for the week that's just gone, you would have dropped Taylor May for KL Iro in a heartbeat. Bang. See you later, May. Iro comes in. Do you know what I mean? So I think he's a punt.
I'll be tucking it. When I say tucking, I mean definitely following you. He's flick the cunt, fuck the cunt.
See ya, mate. Now, this will be quick. I don't know how Greg Marju was talked about so much here, but you don't punt Greg Marju. You don't punt Greg Marju.
He's only just come back from a wrist fracture. Like,
I don't care where he's playing.
Give him a break.
Left, right. I don't care if he's playing in the bleachers. You still play him. You still have him. You know what I mean? And look, this is a mean orange too. This is Guru's draft rhetoric because you listen to his podcast, and so now. After the whole Greg Marju playing right wing, which I called, just by the way, I just called that just off the top of my head. Everyone told me I was fucking crazy. But you know what?
Yeah,
I know footy. I know boats. So Guru's been saying that they could have him on the right to protect his hand because it's his right hand. And
it's his fend hand.
He's reaching, but – who knows? This could be right. You might see Greg Marju this weekend come out and be back at left. Like people saying they want to sell Greg Marju because he got shifted to the other side of the field. Are you fucking kidding me?
Do you know how many tries they scored last season down that corridor? Like Dom Young, don't sell him. Yep. Don't drop him. Like
let's move on.
Bazatui also said that there's a good chance that he'll play left this game.
Back left. Well. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, fuck, too hasty. All right, last one, Ryan Madison. So I drafted Ryan Madison, and he's gone. He's out of my side. Yeah, I noticed
that.
And he's just not getting the minutes, man. He's just not. I don't know.
I thought that
what's going
be,
on there.
But... I thought they'd be floating a like a straight trade for this rest of the season, him for Lomax.
Yeah, I've got no idea. I mean, I guess the Eels just don't give a fuck because they know that he's going to be there next year.
Yeah.
So, but I dropped Ryan Madison. He's just getting fuck all minutes. Like even the games where he did play decent minutes, like
you've got
the
best he did was, as well.
The most he played was 68 minutes this year, and he got 48 points with that 68 minutes. So
wasn't that the game he played on the edge?
Yeah, it might have been actually. Yeah. He wasn't even getting 80 minutes when he was playing on the edge.
Fucking hell.
I mean, I've got Hopgood, Carrigan, and Kai Pierce-Paul. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm in a rare position where, Matto, you don't even get close to making my starting side. Like, my team would have to die in a bus crash. The bus would have to go off the side of a cliff for Matto to get a start.
Yep.
So he's gone. But, Angus Crichton, you bring him in. He would have got a start over Matto. Sean Bloor, again, a guy that we talked about on waivers, he gets a start over him. So I think he's a punt. What do you reckon?
No, I'm fully on board with that. It's one that he's disappointed for this season. There's a whole raft of options that we've spoken about week in, week out on either the waivers post or the free agent frothies. And look, I'm just looking at a few of the really low ones. I was speaking about him before, but when Lukey comes back, he can outperform him. Bloor definitely. Trent Liero. Like he's been solid at 50 point games. There's heaps of options out there, and you have to move him on.
Yep, I agree. So we've gone Sean Lane, punt, Cody Walker, punt-ish. Just get someone in your side that's going to play 5-8 for you that's not Cody Walker.
Mm.
Taylor May, he's a punt. Greg Marju is definitely keep. Ryan Madison, punt. So there you go. Useless cunt punt. First hit of the year. I like it.
No, done well.
We're swinging the axe. We are swinging the fucking axe. All right, let's get into the happy ending, bro.
You want happy ending?
I got a booty.
Let me break it down for you so you understand. I'll hold your hand like a small child. Fuck. Oh, my God. Fuck yeah.
Okay, obviously didn't do the matchups this week, but all those matchups, all those stats are available on the Patreon, the Rub Club. Get in there, tier 2, $8 a month. That's $2 a week. That's fucking nothing. You can get on there, get the game day matchup sheets, get the positional ranks up there, and have a look at your matchups for yourself. But we'll be back to normal scheduling next week. But we thought we would still do our favorite matchups and plug and plays.
Yep.
So should we get into that? Should we get into the matchups?
Yeah, sounds good. So the top matchups.
Top matchups. So this is the guys that the stats are screaming at us. They're like, usually it's the fucking green box, red font, the Christmas tree, the little present, the Christmas present, the arousal meter. I've got a million names for it. Yep. The fucking dick extender, whatever you want to call it. It's the one you're looking for in your matchups when you're looking at the stats here. Walker, you're first in the draft. Who you got? I already know who you're going to fucking go. This is disgusting.
I did speak about him earlier as a sell target, but Tommy Turbo. Look, all the signs are pointing to Manly having a really strong game. Titans have conceded a whopping 90.4 points to opposed fullbacks. At the back, they've got Philip Semmy, who last played fullback for 5 games in 2020. I feel like the defensive structures and things and all those sort of things are going to be a real issue. Saab and Garrick return on the right edge. I'm expecting more scrutiny in the Titans' ruck defense as well. So that was a big talking point in the in Graham Annesley's breakdown of the refereeing for the week. So this is probably going to lead to better field position for Manly, and I think their roll on might be a bit better and less controlled by the Titans. And it just leans to Turbo being the main beneficiary of them being in better attacking positions. So more try assists, and I think they're going to attack heavily down that right edge. And look, he's going to be coming up against AKP on that right edge. So look, AKP and Brian Kelly, and I'm going to harp on this. They've combined to have 10 try causes and 9 line break causes in their 4 games together. So it just points to it being an absolute points bonanza. And look, I do think the Titans will have a bit of a comeback in the second half, but I think the game's going to be run and done within the first 40, 50 minutes. And I think that they're just going to run away with it a bit.
Yeah, Turbo's huge. I'll pile on here. The Titans, they're conceding 28% to fullbacks. So yep. It's the highest percentile in the team that they're giving up tries to. Last time Turbo played Titans at Seabus, hat trick.
Atty. Oh mate, it's look, I was expecting a lot of try assists, but mate, if you're adding tries onto it, just sign me up.
Yep. 100%. How good. All right, that's a good pick. Right, another one. So my pick, I'm going to go RTS. So
ooh, against the Dragons. That's a great matchup.
Dragons conceding 6th most Supercoach points in the league. Warriors scoring the 2nd most. So it's a good matchup straight up when you're talking about Supercoach points. Warriors strong down their left this year. 60 points per player per game, scoring 1.7 tries a game down that left, which marks up really nicely against that fucked Dragons right edge, giving up 55 points per player per game and 2.2 tries they're conceding to left attacks a game. That's huge. The 2.2 tries down that edge, that's going to be big. That's where the Warriors are going to find success. So that Warriors left edge, it has the 4th best. Tasty little matchup here. It's a light green box, so it's not the dark green with the red font, but we're getting there. Let's dive into that left edge. Hello, Roger. Green box, red font, arousal meter. It's the Christmas tree. It's Christmas fucking morning. It's a present. It's the present box. It's everything that you love. He's got it next to his name. So we're big on RTS here. Dragons leak more points to left centers than any other team, 63 points. They've also leaked 12% of the tries scored against them to that position. Lomax comes back in at right center. Could be a little bit rusty there. We know that he's not the greatest defender. Obviously, very good in attack. But in defense, he does have some lapses there. I think RTS can bag one in this game. I think he's a very good VC option.
Yeah, 100%. No, I totally agree. And it was going to be my next pick, you bastard. So I'll have to scramble here. Look, I might be told I'm chasing last week's points. But I'm going to go Toops. And this is in some ways chasing last week's points, but also chasing last week's and this season's defensive efforts. So he lines up against Will Warbrick. In 5 games, he's conceded 9 try causes, 12 line break causes, 13 missed tackles versus 17 completed tackles. And the Storm concede the most points to left wingers at 84 points per game. Now, Warbrick has conceded
84 points per game to left wingers.
To left wingers is ridiculous.
Stupid. That's stupid.
Like, they've conceded 1.2 tries per game on average to oppose left wings.
Yeah, wow.
43% of their tries conceded, this is the Storm, 43% have been conceded to left wingers. It is fucking outrageous that this is such a defensive issue for them. I'm surprised that Will Warbrick is still in the team, but there might be a late switch. Belliette might be giving him a couple more weeks, but yeah, huge issue in defense. They're obviously, with Sammy Walker still out, the attack's going to be favored down that left corridor through Keary, especially his kicking game. I think there's going to be at least 1 to 2 tries. Like, sign me up for ATS for Toots for sure. Like, you should have used that as your lock this week.
I'm not allowed to do locks anymore.
I think isn't it about time Pepper did your lock for you?
Yeah, she has. Yeah. She's picked him. She's done a lock. She's done a lock. She's gone Tigers plus 25.5 and Finns plus 12.5.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. I'm not allowed. I'm banned. I retired.
Better chance than you had. but yeah, I think like the points are going to be piled on through that corridor. One thing is, look, I know that the defensive team as a whole, the Storm is really good, but this is a real deficiency that they got. And it's not just Will Warbrick, it's many inside of him as well that have a bit of an issue. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how this one goes. But, yeah, if you've got him, fire him up for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you said it, 40%, over 40% to left wingers. We say that 20% is very dominant.
Fantastic. Yes.
Double that.
Yeah.
Double that. That's ludicrous.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Toops, two or more, will be in multis. I guarantee it.
Yes, for sure.
All right, my last pick. I'm going to go Reece Robson here. I've picked him before and gone bang, but Sharks leaking 70 points a game to hookers on average. Obviously, Robson sitting at a tasty average of 74. He's playing really well. That gives him the little present box, the Christmas morning box, the arousal meter, red font inside a green box. Yum, yum, yum. But also, if you look at the front row forwards, they have a really good matchup against the Sharks as well. That'll tie in nicely to Robson having a very good game. Sharks leaking 66 points on average to front row forwards. So 66 points to front row forwards and 70 points to hookers. What does that spell? Weak fucking middle. So Robson could have a field day here. So I don't think they're going to be able to beat the Sharks on the edges. They're going to have to go up through the guts. I can envision Robbo with a little dummy, maybe a scoot over for himself. And we've seen him give those early balls to guys like Griff Neame and them crashing over some meat as well. I think Robson goes 70 plus here.
Yeah, I don't hate that one at all. He's definitely a really good matchup this week. And yeah, the Sharks have been dominated through the middle throughout the season. So I like it. I like it a lot.
They're good matchups. What are we with? Turbo, Toops, RTS, Robson. They're our top four matchups backed by the rubber stats. All right, man, let's get to the plug and play. So we're looking at guys that are a little bit less ownership, guys that you can pick up free agents, or maybe hopefully you've got them off waivers, guys that you're going to plug in that you normally wouldn't, but because of the matchups this week, you're putting them in to get really good points. I'll go first on this one, and it's got to be Phil Sammy.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Straight up. Manly leaking the fourth most Supercoach points overall. Manly have allowed fullbacks to average 91 points. Now, we talked about Turbo having a really good matchup and Titans leaking a lot of points to fullbacks. Manly, just as bad. Just as fucking bad, right? So I thought that was really interesting. Fullback scoring a whopping 25% of the tries scored against Manly. Sammy averaging 5 tackle breaks a game. We know that he's got that in his repertoire. He could have 11 tackle breaks in this game. You know, well, you can bet your fucking dick he's going to have 25 runs here. So 11 tackle breaks a game is well and truly in the realm of possibility. Last three games up against Manly, you've had C&K get 96, Edwards got 119, Sloan got 75. Sammy back there, you know he's going to get involved. If he can somehow bag a meat pie here, it's going to be a big score. So a guy that you could whack in your CTWs. And as we always say, we love playing CTWs that are actually playing fullback in real life. This is one of those times. Sammy, pick him up, play him. You won't be disappointed.
No, I like that play. It's definitely one that I was looking at. I've mentioned him in the waiver write-up. I think he's definitely a great pickup this week, and I think he will offer a bit of value even when he moves back into this into the wing spot. I am going to back up my Turbo call, and I'm going to go Jason Saab in his game back. So the Titans have conceded 76 points per game to opposed right wingers. He lines up against AKP. I mentioned it before that AKP and Brian Kelly have combined for 10 try causes and 9 line break causes in their 4 games together. Look, I'm expecting with Garrett coming back, I think they're really going to have a field day on that right edge. I think DCE, I think Turbo are going to be pulling the strings there. I think there's definitely going to be a lot of attacking involvement. I think they're going to get it done in the first 50 minutes, and then there'll be a bit of a fight back by the Titans, but it'll be a little bit too late. Saab, we've seen him get runaway tries and definitely down that edge. I think they're going to be caught out a few times in this one. I think backing up a Toops ATS call, I think a Jason Saab one is kicking the corners.
Yeah. Cam Pereira is a liability in defense. They'll identify that early on. All right, I'm going to go, this is a bit rogue, I'm going to go at a Mariota. So, available front row forward here, but he will be playing right edge back row for the Raiders.
Who he's running against.
Yeah. So, Raiders love using their right edge back rower so far this season. You know, Hosking averaging 72.2 points. He's bagged a few tries. Broncos leaking the second most points to right edge back rower, 66 points per game. It is a Christmas tree box. It's a arousometer. It's the green box, red font. But like you're alluding to it, he's running straight at the turnstile. It's not even a turnstile now. He's just turnstile with no arms.
A turnstile has arms, mate.
He's a bollard. You just run around it.
Yep.
Man, 25 missed tackles, 7 tries caused, 9 line breaks conceded. If they can isolate Mariota up against Ezra Mamm,
Mariota's a unit too.
Try time. Got a lot about him too. Got an offload. I think he had 2 offloads on the weekend. Had a few tackle breaks. Big boy. Get him running at Mamm. Everyone's had a field day against Mamm. All the right edge back rowers are eating against Mamm. So nice little plug there for your front row forward. I've done it for the Eskimo Bros. We've done it for the Rubbers.
Yep.
Mariota's come in. I mean, a front row forward that's playing edge back rower, that's going to get 80 minutes. I mean, stop the fight.
And he's shown that he's got enough of a motor to go 80 as well. So, look, it's definitely one that I think it's a set and forget to bring him in, especially a plug and play. I think he's going to have rest of season potential, depending on what happens with Whitehead when he comes back. But I think the spot will be his if he can maintain it.
Yes, big adder.
Big adder. How good?
All right, bro. What's your last pick?
Last pick. So we were talking a little bit earlier about what side Tessinu and Jake Averillo are playing. Jake Averillo lines up on the right. And who are they up against? Oh, that's right. It's Manly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it?
Eels.
Sorry, Eels. Sorry. I'm looking at the guy that I've seen concede a whole bunch of tries and seems like he's still got that Maroon jersey on. But, Morgan Harper, our good friend Morgan Harper, the king of the ATS, or ATS conceding. In 5 games, he's conceded 7 try causes and 10 line break causes. This is a single player. For Supercoach, the Eels have conceded 80 points per game to oppose right centers. Osako is a big target in attack as well on the outside of Averillo. The matchup versus Simonson is just as good. So, like, I think there is going to be a fair bit of meat. I think, like, Osako is a really good ATS this week, but I think Averillo from a plug and play this week is a fucking insane option. They've been conceding so much through that combination. I can't believe that they're playing this combination on that edge again. It's like it's a defensive liability each and every week. Morgan Harper has so many issues in his game. In attack, he's fantastic, and that's what's got him out of trouble, I think, and got him the run the following week because he's been scoring tries, but he's been letting in just as many, if not more.
I mean, it's fantastic for us because as long as he's there, we're going to continue to plug whoever's running at him. We did this last week. Tommy Chester, get him in your sides. Put an ATS next to his side. Bang, bang. He scored 1, scored over 60 points. Expect the same here with Averillo.
And Averillo has got a lot about him as well. So he's definitely one to put in your ATS mix. He's definitely going in my multi for this week. So, yeah, I'm super keen on him this week.
Yep, I like that. There's some good plugs there, bro. So we've got Jason Saab, we've got Jake Averillo, Adam Mariota, and Phil Sammy as our plugs. They're the drafts people. Let's get into some questions.
All right.
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
You want answers?
You know the question.
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
All right, bro. Let's start ripping through these bad boys. Talk to me.
All right. So Haydos has asked us, boys, I lost last week to the league leader, 934-930. Fucking hell, that's close. And that's that. Those are good scores for draft, and that just hurts.
Mm.
So who do I play out of these chubs? Fifita? Well, you're playing Fifita. Yo?
You're playing Yo.
You're going to play Yo. KPP and Eli Katoa. Oh, Eli Katoa has a difficult matchup this week. I'd be inclined to play KPP against the Doggies. But yeah, I think you've got to play Yo, especially when Cleary's out. And Fifita's just got that upside potential. Fuck, as hard as it sounds, I'm leaning towards Eli Katoa benching. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I do like that. KPP is getting 60 points with no attacking stats. Mm. So, yeah,
that's a lead areas right there.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. So, yeah, I'll be going for Fede Yo, KPP. What a back row. Wow.
What an insane back row. That's
wow.
Literally the three best back rowers plus yep. KPP.
Yeah.
Insane. Stephen has asked us, is May worth selling high considering Spencer's coming back? Just get another 50 plotter and upgrade another position.
Yeah, I've had a few questions about this on Instagram as well. Mm. I don't mind the play because you're selling high on May coming off a really good game, an 80-plus game, and Spencer coming back is a worry. But again, you're not really worried about minutes for May because if he gets less minutes, his output will just go up.
Yep.
And his PPM will go up. So yes, shopping, see what you can get, but don't be upset if it doesn't come. Just stick with him. I think he'll be a gun for the rest of the season.
Yep. No, I agree there. Stephen's asked us another one. Would be good to hear your thought on the impact of the draws for round 11, 14, 17, 20. But I don't understand that one, so I'll skip over it. interested to hear which teams are more likely to play origin players in the weeks after each game. Ah, so he's talking about the games following origin and leading into origin. So looking at players specifically like your Benny Hunts, like your Harry Grants, probably looking at teams that historically look to rest players. So
Storm, this is a case-to-case basis, yeah. Right?
We'd have to go through all 34 players that would be picked for Origin.
You're looking at certain players that like to back up. You're looking at coaches that like to protect their players and rest them. It'd be a very hard thing to measure. Yeah. I think it's just a case-to-case basis.
And also, it will change as the season rolls on because if a team's in a really good position, they're more than likely going to rest their players to free them up for the rest of the season. If they're struggling for wins, they're probably going to need to risk the players to at least get something out of them for that round to get the win.
Also,
on the
when are they playing in the weekend? Are they playing on the Thursday night or the Sunday? That's going to make a huge difference on whether the guys are rested as well. So too hard to fucking do that one.
Yeah, that one's a great question, but not one that we'll be able to answer.
Leave that one through to the keeper, yep. I think.
Braden has asked us, I have both Cardi and Lane. It's a tough one. So which one is worth keeping and which one is worth trying to get Plour or Sewer on waivers? Cheers.
Keep Cardi.
Yep.
And I would probably go Sewer, if I'm honest.
I'd go Sewer as well. Like having Chan on the bench for Plour is just such a big concern. I mean, we've probably missed the boat on answering that one because he's plonked it despite mentioning in the questions that needed to put it in the waivers post. they've put in the questions post because we don't look at the questions post until we actually get on air. CB has asked us, 10-man league, 13, running with 13, 4 on the bench, currently sitting first. How good. So I've got both Dylan Lucas and KPP in his two-off rotation. He's confident that KPP keeps his spot for 80 minutes. I think I agree with that on the left edge. However, Lucas is the interesting one. Where do you see his role going forward? Like first drop if a back rower or a lock or a center goes down, or do we think that he might sub in and push maybe Frizzell to lock? I love that move. But I just don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I would say he runs on the bench just because he covers so many positions. Mm. And I think, yeah, that's probably likely what happens. He comes on, plays a few minutes at right edge back row, and Frizzell just rotates through the middle.
Yeah.
Because I think they did that the last game before Frizzell got injured.
And they look good.
Mm.
I think they offer a lot more in attack. But look, Adam Elliott's been playing well this season, so it's not one that you can just say, oh, no, I've just pumped Elliott. Like, he's actually been performing.
It could be front row. Like, front row forwards and locks, they're the same position, you know. Yeah, Adam Elliott could be playing front row forward.
Especially, especially the type of locks that they'll be both playing. It'll just be another middle forward.
Yep.
No, that's fair. Maestro has asked us, he's currently sitting first. Awesome. Eight-man league, so there'll be plenty of options on waivers. Who would you sell out of Drinky, Turbo, and CNK? Fuck, if you did all three of those, fuck, no wonder you come first. With injuries, I don't have space keeping all three long term, but I have to sell. So just trying to get some trades happening. I mean, out of those, sell high on Drinky.
Yeah,
that's the obvious target there to get some value in a trade. Like, CNK has only just come back from injury, so it's unlikely that you get the true value for him. And Turbo hasn't performed on the field as well as you'd hope. Like, he hasn't performed poorly. It's just, in my opinion, I think you get the most value out of Drinky.
Yeah, go Drinky. You'll get pretty much whoever the fuck you want if you're selling Drinky.
Yeah.
So do that.
Trying to get Drinky for someone like a Hughes or someone like that. Like, if you're struggling in one of your half positions, just go out, try to get Hughes, try to get Dylan Brown. Like, those are trades that will definitely get across the line and lock down that first position spot. Jakey has asked us, is Tuala still relevant if Marju moves back to the left?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He seems like he's a different player from last season. This is Tuala. And everyone seems to forget that Dom Young scored a fuck ton of tries on that right edge. Like, it's not going to happen. He's not going to score that many, but he's a good finisher this season, a really good finisher.
And remember, teams are going to start kicking away from Marzu. That just means more runs, more tackle breaks, more base for Tuala.
Yeah. And like, instead of getting like the second hit up being your H1s, he'll be getting the H8s for that first run.
So exactly.
Big difference. Like, if you're doing, 10 kick returns in a game, or like 5 to 10 kick returns in a game, you're getting 5 to 10 extra points. Anyway, Semi has asked this, Tungo or Garrick for rest of season value?
Tungo
in a heartbeat.
Yep.
I like Garrick's dual position, but the Manly run at the back end of the season is not fantastic. David has asked us, rank as plays this week. Ito, Taylor May, Galvin, Bostock, Schiller, Strange. Obviously, a few of them are TLT dependent. I think all of them are relevant for TLT because all of them were named. Personally, plays this week, matchup wise, probably Ito.
Yeah, Iro up against Schiller, that right edge.
Schiller has a really good matchup this week. So maybe between those two. So Iro and Schiller.
Yep.
Rowan has asked us, classic head-to-head league. He's got coin, but he's looking at keepers. So he's torn between Lomax or DWZ for CTW and choosing between Olakuatu or Hopgood for 2RF.
Lomax, baby. Lomax, and probably I'd probably rather Hopgood than Olakuatu. I'm just worried about the Manly strength of schedule as the year progresses, and you know you're going to get solid points from Hopgood.
Yeah, I'm looking more at, Lomax for sure. He's got that low BE this week, and you just know that he's going to rise in price over that 800K threshold. And you don't want to be the one who misses out this week, because I think everyone's going to be jumping on him. He's not going to be under 10% owned next week. DWZ's going to fire in the future, like we spoke about him earlier in the podcast. So I understand looking between the two. But fuck, Lomax has just been absolutely scintillating form. And goal-kicking CTW that scores tries. Thanks.
Got him 3 weeks ago. Whatever.
Fair trade. I personally would go Oluwatu just because I like his attacking output that you'll get from him. We were talking before about the potential impact of minutes for Hopgood. Obviously, coming into a very difficult strength of schedule over the next, say, 8 rounds, it's one that I would probably go Oluwatu over Hopgood. But for those two, it's bloody close. I think the higher ceiling of Oluwatu is probably what swings it for me. But the safer floor for Hopgood is probably another thing that if you're worried about that. Pask has asked this, is Tricky Trindle a must roster player in a 12-team, 13-player starting for on the bench captain's league?
Or, definitely not a must.
Or can he be thrown to waivers?
Yeah, he can definitely be thrown to waivers.
Yeah, I mean, I had a sticky beak and he's on our waivers. Actually, yep. It was on waivers in both 12-team leagues that I'm in. So, yeah, I think he can definitely be dropped. In the other league, I actually picked him up though as a free agent for this week because I'm struggling. BMAD has asked. That was a waiver question. Another waiver question. People don't read the questions post.
Right. Let's do two more and get out of here.
All right. Maddie has asked this, is A. Papali'i to Angus Crichton, yay or nay?
Yes.
Well, I like that. I think Angus has turned a corner. I think he's getting back to that 2022 sort of form.
Yep.
I'm big about him.
Yep.
So we've got a question for Classic from Finn. So Finn's asked us a question for Classic. Well, how does Savage and Bostock to Iro and Garrick for a bit of a pod play sound? Garrick has Titans, Morgan Harper, and then on the Finns.
Yeah, I love it.
I don't mind that play at all. And virtually no one is going to be looking at Garrick as well. So I think as a pod play for sure, obviously you're not going to get any cash generation from Garrick with the B that he's got, but yeah, I definitely think he's a really solid pod play. For sure.
For points.
Yep. And I'm just looking at what's the best question. Next one. Oh, we've got a bit of a CCW and flex option here. So
okay, go.
He has to pick three out of these next four. Taylor May, Philip Semi, The Penis, and Nicola.
I would... maybe who's Parramatta got? Dolphins. So Penis is running at testing you. I would probably not play Taylor May.
Yeah, I was thinking the same. Because I think will he be lining up against Olam? Or will it be Naden? It'd be Naden.
The right, so, yeah. But still,
I still don't think. I think you'd be playing Sammy, Penis, and Nekora.
I think so too.
Yep.
Yep.
And one more. Okay, Jaden. Jaden has asked us, looking to make the first trade of the season. Couple of boys real thin as 5'8.5". I have Burton, Galvin, and Tamara Martin. Which of them with Karaz would you combo for a trade? I was going to try the DWZ owner and maybe get another if you have a CTW to target in a trade.
So which of those 5'8s do you want to? I mean, honestly, if you want to get the biggest bang for your buck, selling high on Burton at the moment, we'll probably get you the best bang for your buck there. Galvin probably doesn't have the name at the moment to give you any value in a trade. And Tamara Martin, he's looked good when he's got back, but he's only played a couple of games. So, yeah. I mean, I'd probably float Burton around and just see what you can get because I think that's going to give you the most power in this trade.
Yeah, and I think you'll definitely be getting the DWZ potentially plus someone. I think it's going to be tough to try to do that with your Tamara Martin or Galvin.
Yep. I agree. All right, that'll do. This is 2 hours. Fuck, she's been a big one.
Choose the blues.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here, bro. Hope you guys enjoyed that, the flip and fetch. Please, if you have got any suggestions for the flip and fetch stuff, anything that you want to hear when it comes to trade options, when it comes to strength of schedule gear, when it comes to how you're approaching trading, how you're approaching your finals, get in contact with us, because that's what we want to do. We want to provide you guys with the best content to help your team and help you get a premiership. So if you're listening along to this and you're like, oh, I wish they had talked about this, or I wish they had covered that, please get in contact with us. If you're a Patreon subscriber, get in contact with Wooker. If you're not, you're an idiot, but get in contact with me on Instagram, yeah, and we'll do our best to add those things in to the next Flip and Fetch episode.
100%.
All right, mate, let's get out of here. There are many things a man can do with his time.
This is better than those things.
You're damn right, Walker. Catch us next time on the weekly Rub Down.
You can take me now. I have seen it all.
Get that, India.
Catch her and bounce.